Hi everyone, it's Kevin J, the busy since the ocean. And you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UKHealth Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to award-winning therapist and domestic abuse survivor, Emma David. Emma, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me, Gavin. I'm very well, thank you.
Absolute pleasure to have you on. And I know how busy, especially after talking to you before, how busy you are. So I really appreciate your time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Emma, let's talk a bit about your background, and how you got to where you are today.
So it all started 6 years ago where I met, well, I thought I met Prince Charming, but unfortunately I soon later found out that he was a narcissist, and I unfortunately became in a very horrific narcissistic abusive relationship. I was very confident to start with, but then very slowly and very cleverly, he started to make me believe that there was lots wrong with me. So everything that he said he loved about me at the beginning, he wanted to change, and he hated about me. So very slowly, I started to lose friends. I started to not see family as much. I closed down social media. And then I really started to lose myself. And my whole world then just became about him. And I just wanted to live this fantasy that I was made to believe that I was going to live when I met him at the beginning. Because narcissists create this incredible future faking dream of, so you're constantly living in the future with these people. Their words never match up to their actions, but they seem to always have a pity party. So, you know, there's always something wrong with them. Things are not great for them. And being an empath, you want to fix and you want to save.
Are you an empath? Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, you guys are great. You know, can you just for our listeners, can you just define empath for us? Is that okay?
Yeah, it means you have a lot of empathy for people. And also the downside is you feel other people's pain. So you just want to fix, you want to save. You put other people's needs before your own because you enjoy helping people. And to a narcissist, that's exactly what they want. Yeah.
I've done a bit of reading around this. I don't know what it is. They tend to target empaths, and it's partly because of that empathy part. But empaths in themselves, though, are not really people you mess about with either, because my understanding is that they internally, they are very strong people. They can feel emotionally. If they're emotionally drawn out, that can affect them, obviously. And you probably obviously know that. But on the flip side, empaths kind of, my understanding is they know how to deal with difficult situations as well.
The ones with boundaries do. So if you're an empath and you have codependency, then unfortunately that's you having no boundaries. So a narcissist will literally eat you up and they'll just use you for whatever they want. But empaths with boundaries, absolutely. You have to learn as an empath to keep some energy for you and also learn the word no.
Absolutely. I think I'm a bit of an empath, to be honest with you. It's not diagnosed or anything like that, but I think just because I've done other interviews as well where I come across, you know, empaths, and I've done some reading around it. They've got a very good, they've got a really different depth of understanding where other people are coming from, if that makes sense, you know. So you probably obviously know that, you know.
Yeah, we're great listeners, which is probably why I do what I do.
Absolutely. Was there a bit more to the story? Because I interrupted you. Sorry about that. Was there a bit more you were going to say?
If you just wanted to know my background of why I do what I do, it's because I got to a point where I got so low in the relationship and I actually tried to commit suicide twice because that's where it got me to. I saw no way out. I then went to Australia to get away from him. That's where I qualified as a counsellor because two therapists told me that I should go back to him and just give him another chance. So I really saw that there was a gap in the market of professionals not really understanding this type of abuse, you know, gaslighting and things like that. So that's what I did. I then became a narcissistic abuse recovery counsellor. But unfortunately, with narcissists, they do not stop. So even though I was helping people, he was just constantly trying to destroy me even after that. And finally, last year, I got him prosecuted for coercive control, and he did go to prison. So it can be done.
Well done. Good for you. Is he still in prison now?
No, he is out now. He is on license still, but yeah.
He doesn't, and he hasn't been in touch, I'm assuming, since then or anything like that?
No, he has a four-year restraining order on me. So I have a four-year restraining order on him, sorry. Yes, so, which I don't know why it wasn't given lifetime. I think if you don't want an abuser in your life forever, I think it should be life. I don't think there should be years on it.
Absolutely. I think you can renew it after the 4 years. Is that right? Can you renew it or anything like that?
I hope so, because the last thing I want to do is hear from him again.
Absolutely. Gosh, and well done for coming out of that, because it takes a lot. I mean, I've done some reading around this, and you know, I've done another show about narcissists as well, but it sounds like what ideally the person done to you was he isolated you, he broke down your confidence, which made it really difficult to leave, basically. So it was brilliant that you was able to just get up and go. And I don't know why counsellors are given advice. My understanding is counsellors don't give advice, and especially to go back.
It's a bit
strange, you know.
Yeah. Well, one of them, we had couples counselling, and he just absolutely manipulated her, played the victim, and she actually ended up feeling sorry for him. And there's me completely broken crying. And this is what I mean. They are so clever. They are so calculated. They are the best actors ever.
I've heard, well, I've actually done a bit of reading on, watched some documentaries as well. And manipulation is one of the key skills, and they're really good at, apparently they're very good at homing in on people's weaknesses and using that as well. That's meant to be another kind of thing which helps them get into relationships, and unfortunately, as you know for the person, it's not a good thing, you know.
Yeah, the person you meet at the beginning is not the real version of them, so that's why people fall in love with a ghost. They don't fall in love with the real person. And unfortunately, because this is an addiction, the love addiction of narcissistic abuse, the ghost that you fall in love with is the person that you keep constantly trying to get back. But because that wasn't real at the beginning, it will never come back.
Absolutely.
But they also, at the beginning, they learn about your weaknesses. They ask lots of questions. And to you, they think, oh, this person's really interested in me. You know, they're great listeners. No, what they're doing is they're getting all this information so they can use it again in the future. So you're exactly right.
Oh, dear. Let's talk about, you know, how far you've come now. I mean, you know, explain to us, how did you come to be an award-winning counsellor and spokesperson for domestic abuse?
Because of not being heard, not being validated. And to be honest, if I listened to those so-called professionals, I probably wouldn't be here today. And I opened a group on Facebook called Victims of Narcissistic Abuse Support Group on Facebook, just so I could speak to somebody else and so I could get clarification that this isn't me, that this is an actual thing. And it is now 34,000 members. And I couldn't believe how many people were saying, yeah, this is what I've been experiencing. This is abuse. And that really, really helped. And then obviously that's when I started going into counselling and coming just so knowledgeable of narcissistic abuse, cluster B personality disorders. I was like a sponge. I wanted to know everything because I wanted to know why I kept returning to a person that was just constantly abusing me, but then being really nice and then being horrible again. And then I found out that the trauma bond and what it actually does to the brain. I just find it so, so interesting. And I just wanted to help others.
Absolutely. I think it's brilliant. And is it 4 years now you've been in this position? Is that right?
Yes, 4 years. Yeah.
Gosh, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. How would you describe domestic abuse? Does it always involve physical harm?
No. So coercive control is psychological. It doesn't have to be physical to be abuse. stalking, harassment, isolating, breaking you down, control, all of that. And unfortunately, people still are unaware that just because physical abuse isn't present in the relationship or within any type of relationship, that it isn't abuse, it is abuse. If someone is having a damaging effect on your mental and physical health, this is a toxic and it's not a good relationship to be in.
Is blackmail involved as well? Can there be blackmail involved at all?
Yeah, there's blackmail in many, you know, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself is quite a big one. If you don't do what I'm going to, if you don't do what I want, then I'm going to, you know, tell everyone that you're this, you're that. Because also narcissists are very clever at pushing you to the point where you act out of character. So this is called reactive abuse. So you are reacting to the abuse. So you might shout, you might throw something, you might slam a door, and they always have the phone ready to get that section of you losing your mind, or, you know, acting definitely out of character, and then they'll use that against you. That happened to me. He pushed me and pushed me and pushed me until I snapped. And then he just was saying, "Why are you being so horrible to me?" And because he'd wound me up for about 6 hours, I just lost it. And then he pulled up the phone and said, "Now everyone's going to know what you're like." It's very, very clever. And you feel so scared that everyone is going to think that you are the abuser.
It sounds like that's where the gaslighting comes into effect, because it sounds like they push you. You do something, you could become angry, understandably you're angry, you react, and then it sounds like they'll put themselves in the position where they haven't done anything wrong. And and him saying that to you as in, you know, why are you doing this? It's just gaslighting.
Yeah, it's gaslighting. It's making you feel like that you're the problem. He used to say to me, "You're the most aggressive person I've ever come across. You're so argumentative." And I think a saint would probably act like I did, because it is torture. It is absolute torture when you have got somebody for hours and hours just putting you down, saying that there's something wrong with you and no one likes you, and just taking everything that you love and destroying it, including your soul. You're human. You're not a robot. You're going to react.
Absolutely. And with domestic violence, there can also be like financial control as well. Is that correct?
Yes. So financial control is a big one, because they don't want you to have any means of leaving. It's all about power and control. So it's very common for them to not allow you to have their own bank, let you have your own bank account, have your own car, not being able to have access to bills or anything like that. It's fully in their control. So say if you wanted to leave, you wouldn't know how to leave. And so many people I speak to say, "I can't leave because I've got no money. I don't even know how to pay a bill." They take all of that away from you. So they make it so impossible for you to leave.
Gosh, it sounds absolutely awful. You know, we're just going to we're going to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Emma, thank you for the insight into domestic abuse and also what you've been through, and, you know, have you become an award-winning counsellor? How common is narcissistic abuse? Most of us think it's something that happens to other people usually.
Narcissistic abuse is really, really common. And the thing is, people don't realise that domestic abuse is narcissistic abuse, because someone is going to have to be narcissistically abusing you to hurt you. So these people don't have any empathy or compassion. And if someone is purposely hurting you for their own gratification, for their own pleasure, there's no remorse, there's no sorry, there's no apology. then that person is narcissistic. Now, that person might not be diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, but people can have narcissistic traits. And everybody actually has narcissistic traits. That doesn't mean that you're a narcissist. And I always try to say to people, don't worry about the diagnosis. If somebody is acting horribly to you on purpose, if this is a pattern of behavior, you know, them being really nice, them being really horrible, compulsive lying, if you notice that your mental and physical well-being is starting to really, really be affected by this person, then this person is toxic. They should not be in your life. And unfortunately, it's not just in relationships. It could be a coworker, it could be a boss, it could be a friend, it could be a parent, it could be a child. Anybody can be affected by narcissistic abuse.
Absolutely. I was watching a documentary years ago, and some bosses are well known to have narcissistic traits. And I've heard all kinds of case studies and stories, and people that I've known as well, where they work with people and, you know, where there's definitely there's some narcissistic tendencies. And you're absolutely right. There's a lot of narcissists which are not diagnosed. There's a lot of people walking around which are not diagnosed. And if, you know, actually was clinically assessed, may well be narcissistic. I also heard that it's actually quite difficult to get a diagnosis of narcissistic disorder, as well as general personality disorders as well. That's something I heard generally. And I don't know if you've heard the same thing.
It is, because a narcissist doesn't see that there's anything wrong with them. So they would not openly go and get a diagnosis. It's generally mandatory if someone's in prison or if someone's been sectioned. That is when possibility that they would get the diagnosis because they would see a psychiatrist. But no, these people don't think there's anything wrong with them. They blame the world and everybody else.
Yeah, of course. No real accountability.
No.
Did you find that with your previous relationship with the person? Was there a lot of that going on, like as in him not taking accountability for what he's doing?
Absolutely not. No, he took no accountability, and he was always life's victim. You know, everything was going wrong in his life, and he's an alcoholic, so we blame that. But that's when he used to drink. That's actually when I used to get the physical abuse. The rest of the time, it was emotional and psychological abuse. But yeah, he would blame everything and everyone apart from himself. Never a sorry.
Oh dear, gosh. Okay. I know we've mentioned the term a few times. Is it okay if you talk to us about what is a narcissist? I mean, everyone uses the word, but what does it mean in terms of clinical terms?
So a narcissist means that someone has been diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, which is part of the cluster B personalities. So someone that has zero, that word has literally just...
That's all right, that's all right.
No compassion, no empathy, need for control, need for power. They do financially abuse, they stalk, they harass people. They see people as objects, so they don't actually love people. It's incapable of them loving. So if you fall in love with a narcissist and they say it back, it actually means that I love how you make me feel. And a narcissist will only have people around them that they benefit from. They won't have people that they don't. That's why they discard people very easily and then jump onto somebody else.
Of course. I've also heard narcissists can also have overinflated egos. I mean, we all have to have a certain level of confidence. You know, we've got to believe in ourselves to a certain amount to move forward, and that's healthy. But I think it becomes unhealthy when it's even kind of delusional, if that makes sense. Like the belief in it goes beyond like what's actually going on. They believe that they're this and they're that, and when they're nowhere near it. Have you heard of things like that as well?
Yeah, so they create their own fantasy world. So they will say that they know certain people, or they've done this and they've done that. They are pathological liars, but they are actually very insecure people. So this overinflated ego is to replace their insecurity.
Of course. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've heard of that as well, because deep down there's a lot of insecurities, and hence why they present with some of the characteristics and traits. And I think this is also their coping mechanism in life. You know, this is what this is how they feel they cope and move by. And to be fair, I think most of the time everything they do is to feed the ego.
Yeah, that's why they need lots of narcissistic supplies. So they need lots of people telling them how wonderful they are and how loved they are and how liked. That's why to the outside world, they might be really lovely, charming, you know, do lots for charity, you know, all of these wonderful things where people will look and think, oh, they're such lovely people. They've done this, they've done that. And that really does not help a victim of narcissistic abuse, because that version of them is not them. And then when they go home, the victim then gets the real version. And actually, because they've had to be so nice, that's taken a lot of energy to them. So then you might notice them have a massive narcissistic rage, or they just need to let off steam because they've had to be so nice for a couple of hours, and that's not them. So, and also with that, victims find it quite hard to come out and say, I'm a victim of abuse by this person, because no one will believe them, because they portray themselves as so lovely and charming. And that's exactly what I experienced.
I was just going to ask this question. When you guys used to go out, did you see that kind of that switch and sit there thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, none of you have any idea what this person's like? Was anything like that at all?
Yes, he is the most two-faced person ever. So someone will come up in the gym, he'll be, you know, comment on how they look or just be very charming. And it's kind of that mean girls effect of, oh, I love your bracelet, that's so nice, where'd you get it? And then as soon as their back turned, that's the most hideous bracelet I've ever seen. It was that all of the time. And I did actually say, you are very two-faced. No, I'm not. I'm just telling the truth. So, yeah, they are very, very two-faced. I think it's just to make themselves feel better about themselves.
There's a lot of contradiction as well, I think. It sounds like they say certain things and then they go back on it, and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, and stupid me at the beginning, I didn't think that he was also doing this about me, because I later found out that, yes, he would parade me about like a designer handbag, and then actually behind my back, he was telling people how awful I am and how I'm trying to steal money from him and how I'm trying to do this. I'm this gold digger. And then to my face, it's, I love you and I can't wait to marry you. So no wonder people had this opinion of me.
Gosh, that must have been awful hearing all this. You must have been like, what on earth?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, when they then try to manipulate so many other people to create an image of you, it's so hard, because he used to say to me, no one likes you at the gym. Everyone thinks that you're aggressive. Everyone thinks that, you know, you've got an attitude. So that obviously made my back go up and go down the gym and have kind of an attitude, thinking, well, you've just said that about me, so I'm not going to say hello. So he kind of made me the person that he was portraying me to be, and then kind of playing the victim of, you know, this is what I have to deal with.
Oh,
very, very calculated people.
It sounds that way, you know. If you work hard at the relationship, can you cure a narcissist? I mean, are there ever happy times ahead if they go to therapy and agree not to abuse their partner anymore?
No. So with narcissistic personality disorder, their brain has been rewired. So it's not the same as somebody that doesn't have NPD. If you put brain scans together of someone that does have that personality disorder to somebody that doesn't, you see grey areas. And the grey areas are the compassion, the empathy part. So they physically don't have it to give. So you can't expect a narcissist to have empathy because they don't have it in their brain to give it. They can't. Their brain can't be rewired. No matter whether they go to therapy, etc., nothing will work, because this is a personality disorder that cannot be cured. Even if they go to therapy, this is a very good hoovering tactic that they use, trying to win you back. I'll go to therapy. They can cognitively say sorry. They'll say sorry if they need to get something that they want, but they don't mean it.
It's just used again to get you know, into their little trap, I suppose. It's that kind of reeling you in. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, whatever it might be, you know, by the sound of things.
They'll say whatever they need to get whatever they want.
It sounds like they don't really, only in their own mind do they probably think about what's going on. And with the outside world, with everyone, it sounds like they're just everywhere and their perspectives are everywhere. It doesn't sound like they're truly sincere unless it's themselves, basically. Would that be about right from what you found?
Yes, they're not sincere whatsoever. Everything they come out with pretty much is a lie. Their whole life is a lie because they do live in this fantasy world. They're not happy people, unfortunately.
Sounds that way. Why don't victims simply just leave their abusers?
Because there is a trauma bond. As we discussed before, financial abuse, some people, you know, see that leaving the abuser with children can be really damaging. A narcissist will make it, unless they discard you and they don't want you anymore, they will not let you go easily. So the financial control, the children, and breaking you down, by the time you actually get to the point of, I can't do this anymore, you've probably lost friends, you've probably lost family, you might have lost your job, you might have just completely lost your confidence, your identity. You don't know who you are anymore. So actually just getting up and going is really, really not easy. And also leaving an abuser is actually the most dangerous time where homicides can happen, because it's a bit like, if I can't have you, then no one's going to have you. Now, I'm not saying that's every single person, but two women a week are killed by a partner or ex-partner. So this is dangerous times, you know, when you do leave, and that it has to be done in a really careful way. And that's why I always say reach out to friends, family, domestic abuse charities, the police, solicitor. Just make it very aware of what you're about to do, and do it in a really safe way.
Absolutely. I've watched quite a few documentaries on domestic violence, and also, and the ongoing theme was that every single time, obviously, as you can probably imagine, documentaries, they're going to show the worst case scenarios. But the ones I did watch, they were worst case scenarios. Around that period where the person tries to leave, the abuser usually kills them.
Yes.
And they go down for it, obviously, in terms of prison time. But it's such it's unbelievable, you know, and it's happened to quite a few people. It's not just that, you know, you get your, you know, once or twice every month or a few months. It happens. There's a lot more going on than we know, stats-wise, isn't it?
Absolutely. One in three women are affected by domestic abuse, and one in six men are affected.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awful, you know.
It does cost the government a lot of money as well. So if you just want some stats, in 2017, it cost the UK government £66 billion.
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge problem.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Emma, you have created a Mynara app. Is that right? That can help victims?
Yes. So Mynara stands for My Narcissistic Abuse Recovery App. And this app is basically your friend in your pocket. It has multiple different functionalities in it to help you no matter what stage you are at within a narcissistic, coercive, abusive relationship. Would you like me to go into the functionalities?
Yes, please.
So the biggest thing, obviously, I got my abuser prosecuted for coercive control. And within coercive control, there's not a lot of evidence. You don't really have a black eye, a broken bone, because it's not physical. So you need text messages, emails, voice notes, things like that, pictures. So within the app, you can store all of your evidence, and it's in the cloud attached to the app. So it's not actually on your device. It's not in your Apple or Google iCloud. It is stored in the app. And this is all stored, dated and timed. So at any point, you can hand over to your solicitor or the police, and it will give them a really good idea and a picture of the pattern of abuse that you've endured, because that is what the police need. If I had this app at the beginning, I would have not got into so heavily into the relationship, because I would have been able to physically see how much abuse that I was enduring, because I would have logged it day by day. Also, logging red flags. So being very aware of the red flags that you're ignoring, because the ones that you ignore at the beginning are the same ones that you leave for at the end. So you can physically see how many red flags that you are logging. If you start to date someone and you've logged 10 flags in the space of a week, that will indicate that this person is quite a toxic person and you should not go into that relationship with. You can put your no contact in there. So as an addiction, you are guided by how many days that you are no contact, or grey rock. And there's also a 12-phase recovery program called NARC Armor. And that starts from the denial phase, where people are saying to you, you don't see yourself, this behavior is not normal, to you thinking, no, there's, it's fine, trying to make excuses for them, right up until where you are out of the relationship and you're able to help other people. And I'm very honest with the recovery program, as in how you're going to feel. You might go back a few steps, because it is an addiction. On average, it takes 7 times to leave an abusive partner. Mine was probably about 50. So I think that number's quite low. But I wanted to put everything in this app that I needed to get out of a relationship with a narcissist. Plus, it's validating, and it kind of gives you back some control, because the narcissist will have full control over you, have full control to your phone and everything like that. That's why we've cloaked the app as well, so it looks like something just pretty normal. And also the security measures are quite in depth. You wouldn't think of it unless you download it.
That's brilliant. So it gives is it like a chronology of you inputting data? It sounds like it gives you a chronology of everything that's happened to you, and you can kind of overview that and summarize it. Is that right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And we can download it and pass it all back over to you. And then you can just hand it to the police, and there's all of your evidence. And that is what the CPS will need to get a successful prosecution.
That's brilliant. So you can just, it's basically evidence. You're building evidence-based information to protect yourself.
Yeah. And it's not just if you are going to use it in the future for a court case, but it enables you to see actually how much you're enduring, because it's very easy to ignore, because the abuse cycle of where they're really nice to you, then they're horrible to you, then they discard you, then they move you back. You know, because it's an addiction, you just want to get back to the really nice version of them. So you're prepared to ignore all of that abuse, because they promise that they're going to go to therapy, they're sorry, it's never going to happen again. And because that's what you want to hear, you will cling on to that, and you might even destroy all that evidence because they're making you believe that they've changed. But actually, in the app, it's very hard to delete your evidence. So when it's in there, it's in there, and you can always go back to it and refer back, and actually, this happened the last time. They said that the last time.
It's brilliant. Myanara is the only app that includes NARC Armor recovery program. I mean, as a qualified counselor, do you believe that an app can ever act as an alternative to one-to-one therapy?
Definitely not. No. Therapy is expensive as well. And to actually find a therapist that really specializes in narcissistic abuse, understand gaslighting, understand the different forms of what abuse looks like, is really hard. And also, I think finding a counselor that's actually lived through it and will completely understand and be with you on your journey of recovery, like she did or he did when they were going through it is really hard to get. But it's just a kind of me in your pocket helping you at 2 o'clock in the morning when you've got no one to speak to. You're searching for answers. It's just there as an added tool to help you through recovery, as well as finding a good therapist to work with.
So it's best to have it like in combination. You've got the app and the therapist as well, if needed.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Plus, if you can't afford it, then the app is a really good alternative, but it's not how it would be if you was working one-to-one.
Have you spoken to any family lawyers about the app? I mean, what do they think?
Yes, so we have backing from a family lawyer called Parfit Preswell, and they've said how amazing the app is because it makes their job a lot easier in the sense that they need evidence. And if you have all of this evidence stored in the Minara app, then they have a lot more to work with. So, yes, it's really beneficial for them as well.
It sounds like it makes their job a bit easier because they can use it with the Crown Prosecution Service and to say, look, we've got all this evidence, and, you know, they just probably go through it, obviously, just to give them a background, and then it makes their job a lot easier by the sound of things.
Absolutely, yeah. And how nice is it for, you know, a person to have all of that evidence and be to feel confident in, no, this is what I experienced, because going against a narcissist is going to be hard, whether you're going through divorce or you're going through a prosecution. Of course, there's going to be counterclaims and accusations from the narcissist, but that's to be expected because that's what they do. But if you have all this evidence, then it's a bit like checkmate.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. How much does the app cost and where can listeners download it?
So you can download it in the app stores, and the NARC Armour program is $6.99 a month, but the rest of the app is completely free.
Brilliant. Have you had any feedback about the app at all from people that use it or people that know of it, apart from the lawyers, obviously?
Yeah, so we've had amazing feedback. People have said it's been a complete lifeline for them. They've been able to log all the evidence. One woman said it's amazing because her evidence got completely destroyed because the abuser got hold of their phone, smashed it, and then everything was gone. And now she's starting to collate it all again. She doesn't have to send it to family or friends. It's really well cloaked, and she feels like she's got some power back. And yeah, just hearing that it's being called a lifeline just makes me really, really happy, because ultimately this is what I just wanted to do. I just wanted to help people and give people some control back and some hope that you can get out of this.
Absolutely. Have you spoken to people that have actually used it with the Crown Prosecution Service at all or anything like that?
Well, considering it's only been out since October.
Oh, right. So, do you know what? I thought it'd been out longer. So there's
no
problem with it. It's only just been like launched literally this month.
Yeah, so it was launched on the 1st of October. And I really wanted to do it in October because it's Domestic Abuse Awareness Month. And so it's quite a big month and I wanted to get it out there for that. But we've already got 2,000 users. So it's, yeah, we're really, really happy and excited to see what else is going to come, because as time goes on, there's more functionality that I want to put in it that I know will help victims of domestic abuse.
Have you got any plans to raise awareness for it and push it out more? Is it that maybe marketing ideas or anything else that you're going to be doing?
Yes, we are looking to work with an amazing ad agency. So the next step is advertising. So once we get ad campaigns out, you know, I just want to really spread the word. And the biggest thing is education, letting people know what this abuse is, what it looks like, how it makes you feel within your body, your nervous system, the effects of this abuse, and actually then what you can do about it, because you do not need to stay in an abusive relationship. There are ways of getting out.
Are there going to be any events that you'll be attending as well to promote the Minara app?
I will go to all events that I'm invited to. And whatever ones that I yeah, whatever ones I get invited to or ones that will really help promote Minara to help domestic abuse, I will be there.
It might be worth contacting local authorities, local boroughs and their domestic violence teams. And even the MARAC, you could promote it there. The MARAC, if you've heard of the MARAC, in some boroughs they have a MARAC whereby they discuss that the top 5% of domestic violence cases. I actually used to attend it years ago myself, but basically I think local authority would be a brilliant place to promote it and go from there, because it sounds like a brilliant piece of equipment, like a brilliant, you know, I don't want to say device, but it's not a device, it's an app. It's a brilliant idea and concept that you've come up with, which is fantastic, very innovative as well. And I think people could definitely, and even in like high school and universities, you know, it sounds like tapping into all those areas would be really worthwhile.
Yeah, so even if you're dating on Tinder or any one of those, even to have that functionality for dogging red flags, because I know when I was on the dating apps, the amount of red flags that I saw was unbelievable.
I hear all kinds of bad things about dating apps and stuff. Then there's some good things that come out of it, but then I don't know, I've heard it's changed a lot. But anyway,
dating has changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to us a little bit about some of the people that you work with. I mean, obviously, you know, not giving any names, but you know, some of the situations that arise and how they move forward with your help.
So it very much depends on the type of position they're in. So some people come to me to help them and support them through the divorce process with a narcissist, or just come to me and they're completely just, they're so confused, they don't know what's happened. I see a big difference between male clients and women clients, actually. So male clients, they do not know what's gone on. They think, I have absolutely no idea what I've done wrong, or you know, the level of abuse that men actually go through is really, really bad. The calculation, the using of the, well, no one's going to believe you because you're a man and I'm a woman, and throwing themselves downstairs just before the kids come out and say, your dad pushed me, and things like that. Severity of the gaslighting and the manipulation, it really, it's heartbreaking to hear. And it's so, so dangerous in what this abuse does to you. Who did I see on it? I saw a woman earlier, and she was experiencing alcohol abuse, or she thought she was, because her abuser had manipulated her that she was an alcoholic, and that when she would drink, she would attack him, and she needs to go and get help. So she actually put cameras in the house. And the next day she woke up and he said, what you done to me last night was horrific. Look at these scratch marks, you've done it. She went back on the cameras and she just fell asleep on the sofa. She didn't do anything. But she actually was, the reason why she was using alcohol was because of a coping mechanism, because of the severity of the abuse that she was enduring. So he was using that vulnerability in her of using alcohol to then make her feel like she's even more crazy and there's something wrong with her. And this is what makes people get to the point of thinking, I can't carry on. And it's just awful, absolutely awful.
That's unbelievable. Where do you even get the time to think of? So did he have, he must have obviously harmed himself then. He must have scratched himself. I don't know what he done basically, and then blamed it on her.
Yeah. And this wasn't the first time I've heard of this. Yeah.
Well, so it happens to people then basically quite a bit by the sound
of things. Yeah. So the narcissist or the abuser will hurt themselves and blame the victim that you've done this to me. And sometimes it is so apparent that the victim can be sober, but the abuser will say, you've just hit me. And you think, no, I didn't. And they are so, yes, you did. Look what you've just done to me. And you start to believe that you did. Well, I must have, because they're telling me that I did. What's wrong with me? Why am I losing my mind? Gaslighting is one of the most dangerous forms of emotional abuse, because it actually makes you question your own sense of reality.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard quite a bit about this. And this is where people get really thrown off, isn't it? Because they get gaslighted and basically, just for our listeners, gaslighting in terms, and Emma, do correct me where I'm going with this, but it's where someone says something which is completely out of like reality. They say something to the person and the person's like, what? It's like calling the kettle green or something. Look, the kettle's green. No, it's not, mate. It's chrome. You know, it's one of those situations. And it really throws people off, and it just boggles the mind, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear all sorts. You know, if you've called someone out cheating and you have the evidence on the phone, they will look at you and say, there's nothing there. You are imagining this yet again. Do you want me to cheat? Is that what you want? I'll go and cheat if you want me to cheat. And then you've got something to argue about. I'm sick and tired of you coming at me all the time. You're making this stuff up. You're going to ruin this relationship if you carry on, because I'll just go and find someone else that actually respects me. And then the victim's like, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm really, you know, please let's just get back. And then, honestly, it's terrible. It's awful.
Oh,
yeah. Well,
Emma, thank you for your time today. It's been great. It's been really insightful, and the app sounds like it's absolutely amazing. If people want to touch base with you or find out more information about the app and anything like that, are you on social media or anything?
Yes, on social media. Quite big on TikTok, so Official Emma Davey. Or you can get me at Maya Trauma Therapy, or on Instagram, which is mynara.app. But yeah, you'll find me.
Fantastic. And thanks again for your time today.
Thank you so much, Gavin, for having me.
And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.